Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, Javas. I'm your host, Mel Vashon Allen. Welcome to Mornings with Mocha. Let me just start off by saying I am so excited to talk to you guys, to entertain you, inspire you, and for us to cultivate greatness together. Now, you know, we're about to get this morning brewing. If you're ready for your teaspoon or your tablespoon of mocha in your coffee, I'm ready to give it to you. Today, we're going to be discussing the importance of not letting the dream die. I repeat, the importance of not letting the dream die. Make sure, under no circumstances, that you let the dream die. And I know sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life and to put your dreams and your goals on the sideline. One way we do that is, A, we try to figure things out on our own. We try to continue to stay motivated. We try to keep going. And sometimes we may do things that would be contrary to the vision or the goals that we may have for ourselves. A great way to make sure that you stay focused is always make sure you have that goal board, that vision board before you, where you're looking at it daily, making sure that you refresh the vision board. Sometimes the vision may alter, but the very, very core of that vision should stay the same. And the way you get it to stay the same is by making sure that you take time to nurture it, making sure you take time to explore it, making sure you take time to research it, making sure you take time to invest in it. Javas, you've heard me say this so many times, it's important to invest in whatever your goals and dreams are. It's important that you research it because you always want to stay relevant to that dream and that research, that vision that you have. A lot of times we may have a dream or a vision to do something, but we don't stay relevant and current. So we end up not being relevant in what we're trying to do in life. So make sure that you keep the vision before you. Make sure you write the vision. The written word is powerful. If you write the vision, you can run with it. In Habakkuk 2:2, I think it says, I think it's Habakkuk 2:2 or 2:5, somewhere up in there. It could be 2:3, but it tells us to write the vision and run with it. And that is the Near Eastern philosophy, meaning pick the vision up. So if you forget about it, you can look and remind yourself of what the vision is. That's why we have goal setting and things like that. The power of a vision board is so profound. And, you know, vision boards and goal boards are extremely different. Goals and stuff is written. Vision is pictures, images, and things that you need to inspire you to keep going. When the time gets grim, it gives you hope. It gives you inspiration. It gives you a picture that you're running towards. Your vision board should not be completely cluttered, but it should have enough on it for you to run with the vision, but you're adding to it. It's never a finished process. It's always a work in process, and you have to know that that's how you are. You're always a work in process. Even when you accomplish that goal or that dream that you wanted to accomplish in life, you can't just stop there. You need to be looking for the next. If you're looking for the next, that means that you're going to continue to thrive and grow and strive. A lot of people get comfortable with accomplishing one goal, and then after they accomplish that goal, they don't look for anything else. So a lot of times with my coaching clients, I like to do the 3-2-1 effect. So what is your goal 3 years from now? What is your goal 2 years from now? What is your goal this year? So then I do the 3-2-1 all over again. This first year, what are 3 things you want to do? This second year, what are 2 things you want to do? This third year, what is 1 big thing you want to do that you need some time to work towards that? And by putting a mandate, a stamp, a date on it, being the accountability partner, I'm helping them reach the goals that they set on their standards, on their time frame, on their schedule. One thing I never want to do as a coach is tell them what they should be thinking, what they should be dreaming, or tell them how to do it directly, because then that's me living vicariously through them. So in order for the dream not to die, you have to have some skin in the game. You have to invest in it, you have to research it, and you have to take time to hone the greatness that's in you. Greatness is a process. It starts with being repetitive. If you're going to accomplish that dream, you have to be repetitive, meaning you have to keep going towards it. You have to keep repeating what you're doing. You cannot quit. Most people who don't accomplish their dreams is because they never got started in the race or they quit. I know you've heard that saying, winners never quit, quitters never win. So when you take that approach to accomplishing your dream, you have to be relentless. Now, let me ask you a very good and profound question. Ask yourself this. What goal or what dream have I had that I allowed to recently die? And when I say die, there's many ways we allow our dreams to die. We become too busy to fulfill it. We quit. We procrastinate. Or we put others in place of it. Another thing is we stop believing. We stop believing. Now, I'm going to go back through what I just said. One way we let the dream die is we stop doing it because we're too busy in life. I want you to take out a sheet of paper, and I want you to number it 1 to 3. And at number 1, I want you to put the simplest goal that you had to do something for yourself. It may have been, I know one thing I wanted to do was to make jewelry. Another thing I wanted to do was to make pillows. Those are two hobbies I wanted to do. Now, those are two hobbies, two personal hobbies for yourself. Now I want you to think of something that you quit doing that was educational, something you wanted to do to invest in yourself and your future. I remember I started the PhD program and I started the master's program, and I quit both of them. Now I want you to think of something you wanted to do, spiritually that you quit doing. You got it? You got that image of something you wanted to do spiritually that you stopped doing? I remember I wanted to read the Bible in a year. And this is so funny. I think I quit before I started. In my mind, I checked out because I had joined this group on Facebook that was all excited to read the Bible in a year. And I had talked myself out of doing it time and time again and things of that nature. And it's very funny, as a minister, I was talking about this in Sunday school yesterday. A lot of times as ministers, we read the Word of God and we prepare our sermons, we prepare our speeches, we prepare, you know, lessons and to deliver the Word of God and minister to people. But sometimes we don't take time to just read the Word of God for ourselves, just like it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, you know. It's okay sometimes to be selfish about yourself. I know we live in a society where we're constantly thrown in our faces that, oh, you need to be selfless, you need to give more, you need to do more. That's okay. But these three things that you just worked on, you worked on goals that you had for yourself, personal hobbies of enjoyment, self-fulfillment, things that you like to do, the importance of not letting that go. And it's important that you work on those personal goals / hobbies that you have for yourself where you're able to take self-care time or that me time where you're investing in the things that you have always wanted to do, the things that bring you great joy and fulfillment. It may not be making pillows or making jewelry like I like to do, but what is it that you'd like to do in your alone time that gives you some form of self-fulfillment, self-gratification that's interesting to you, Then what is that goal that you had to invest in yourself far as learning and going to the next level. Some people, their personal goal is just reading. It's not to go back to school, but maybe it's to learn a trade. Okay, you're gifted at doing makeup. Are you sitting down watching YouTube videos to perfect that craft? Are you taking enough time to practice? Are you finding living canvases and letting their face be your canvas, your expression of art? How are you keeping this dream alive? Are you researching it to see how can you get certified as a professional makeup artist, or how can you get certified as a hairstylist, or how can you get certified as a CNA, or how can you get certified as a life coach? What are you doing to make sure that that dream, that idea that came to your mind is growing and flourishing, or did you just let it stop with just a thought? One of my favorite quotes, and I say this all the time, by the late Dr. Mouse Monroe, is that the richest place is the graveyard, because so many people die with potential in them. So what are you going to live out? Are you going to take the time to fully live out all of your purpose, all of your potential before you leave this earth? Or are you going to have a Pop-Tart mentality? And I know Bishop Long said this, and I really, really love some of the things that man said, the late Bishop Long. He said that you cannot have a Pop-Tart mentality in life. You can't just wake up and pop up and say, oh, I'm here today. You know, you have to have a plan for your life. I've heard this quote several times. If you don't plan, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. So what is it that you're planning to do in your life that's going to change your legacy, your children's legacy, your family's legacy, that's going to bring in another realm of greatness to push people to where they're supposed to be? Greatness has a domino effect. And if you stop working on you, or you stop and you let the dream die, you'll never execute what you were born or what you were made to do. I have a quote at the end of all of my emails, and it says, I was made for this. I was made for this. I was made for this moment. And as I live this moment, I raise my momentum to go to the next dimension. My levels, because levels go up and down. But when I go to the next dimension, I'm steadily training myself to be better and to be greater. The next thing I was talking about, you got your personal goal of that hobby that brings you self-fulfillment. You have that enrichment goal of education, researching, expanding your horizons, increasing your thought pattern in your mind. Now, I'm going to give you this tip. If you are a writer, it is essential that you're constantly building your vocabulary, that you're constantly reading books to expand your horizon. The more you read, the better writer you will be. That's true. And that goes kind of under that educational goal, self-development goal of honing your craft, your gift, and making sure that you continue to strive towards excellence. Then you have that goal to be spiritually in tune with yourself, to God or your higher power. I prefer to use the term God because I think anybody could be a higher power. Anybody could be a creator. You want to take time to make sure that you are centered and you are focused, that you are on target, because you can have all of the motivation in the world. You can have all of the money in the world. You can have the best spouse, the biggest house, and all the success that men can give you. But if you don't have that spiritual connection with God, or a sense of spiritual peace within yourself, it's all for naught. You see so many successful people who do not have peace because they're not grounded, they're not centered, they don't have that connection spiritually, that spiritual component is missing out of their life. I remember when I started Mocha My Coffee, I wanted to start a business that would empower people to cultivate the greatness in them, but I also wanted to start an empowerment company that will host empowerment conferences that would not only help entrepreneurs and network and things like that, but it would help them develop spiritually. Because you have so many people, they have that, But that spiritual component, that spiritual development is missing. I also wanted to add the component of mental health. We're still breaking down the social taboos associated with mental health. So it's important that you have peace of mind, that your mind is at rest, that spiritually you're connected, and that you're continuing to work on yourself intellectually, educationally, self-care, you know, making sure that you pursue those things that bring you some fulfillment. And without purpose, you don't necessarily have that. You're just existing. So not only do you need to live your life on purpose, with a purpose, you need to be passionate about what it is that you're doing, because that passion is what drives you. And that's how you keep the vision and the dream alive. You have to be passionate about what you have been called to do, what your vision is. If you show me a visionary that lacks passion, I'll show you a vision that has died or on its way to death. So you have to make sure that you're passionate in order to keep the vision alive. That passion is going to drive you when everything looks bleak. And I also would say faith. You need that faith, that hope, in something you cannot see that's bigger than you, that's bigger than the dream. Anytime the dream becomes bigger than your faith and stuff, what's going to happen is the dream is going to drown out your faith when things don't go the way you feel like they should be, or it doesn't work out in that time frame that you have created for it to happen. You have to be open-minded when you are a visionary. Open-minded. And what I'm saying by this, it may be something that's not going according to plan for the dream to manifest itself, or you may have done all that you can one way. You have to be open-minded to look at the dream again and see, how can I attack this from another way? I remember when I was in high school, by me having a documented learning disability, I did not request additional time on the ACT test. I didn't even know I could do it. You know, by the time I finished reading one section, it was moving on to the next section. Hadn't answered any questions. I was Christmas treeing, doing all kind of stuff, feeling anxiety, feeling overwhelmed, not really knowing what to do. So when I got my ACT scores back, I had a score of 10. I felt like somebody had smacked me in the face. My dream was slipping through my hands. I said, Spelman's not going to look at me with a 10. No college is going to look at me with a 10. Are you serious? So what I learned from that was I could give up on my dreams and let failure and defeat kill that dream, or I can come out swinging against the odds that have been dealt to me all of my life. I chose the latter. I went to community college, and I'm going to tell you this. That was not my first choice. I wanted to go to this Christian college, looked at the campus, thought it was beautiful, and all of that good stuff. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit shut it down. He's like, nope, you're not going to go to school here. You're going to go to this school for 2 years, and you're going to graduate, and you're going to transfer into Spelman. That was not the idea I had to pursue my dream. Now, had I been closed-minded, I wouldn't have listened to the Holy Spirit, and I would have never achieved my goal of getting this Spelman. Now, let me tell you what happened at that two-year college. It took me almost 4 years instead of 2 years to graduate from that school. I could have gave up on the dream because the dream was taking too long to manifest. But I had to go back and look at, why was the dream taking too long? How was I being my own hindrance? How was I being my worst enemy in some form? And I had to recognize that I had a fear of failure. You cannot let the fear of failure stop you from dreaming and honing the greatness that's within you. You're going to have to take that fear and grab it by the horns and be courageous and fight against that fear until you come out. I was watching something with Dr. Sidney Trim, and she said it's okay to do things fearful. It's okay for your knees to knock together, girl, and your heels to click together, and you're tired of blowing the wind. Brother, just get out there and do what you need to do to stay on top of your game, to keep that dream alive. Sometimes we let the lack of finances kill the dream. We let the hustle and bustle of life, I said this before, kill the dream. We let fear kill the dream. We let others kill the dream. Remember, it's okay to be selfish sometimes, to run and pursue your goals and dreams. I'm not talking about a selfish where you just are rude about it, but I'm talking about a selfishness where you are taking time to create care, self-care for yourself, work on the things that you need to work on. I never, ever, ever forget this this quote I heard, and it was by a powerful motivational speaker and life coach. I know you guys have heard of her. Her name is Lisa Nichols. She said the best decision, she was talking about one of the best decisions she made was to leave her family because she said she couldn't be broke there with them. She couldn't struggle there with them. Sometimes we have the mentality is of I can't leave my family. I can't leave this small town. I can't leave this. I can't be alone. I can't do this without my mama. I can't do this without my brother or my sister or my cousin or my grandma and all these other, my church or my friends, my man, my girlfriend. And those are things that are holding us back. That's keeping us from being where we need to be. It's okay. She said, I don't want to die and struggle there with them. I had to leave to better myself to come back to help them. So my name is Tamil Vashon Allen, and I so enjoyed spending my morning here with you. Look out, Dade City, Florida. If you want to catch me on June the 8th, I will be preaching at a church. The location is to be announced, but the service starts at 7 o'clock. That's June the 8th in Dade City, Florida. So the date will be soon to come. The 4th Sunday of the month of June, I will be preaching on the tribe of Joseph. If you're ready to be inspired and empowered through the word of God, make sure you join me for that teaching. I will be in the Chicagoland area promoting my book that's coming out, Let the Church Say Amen, Confessions of a Single Minister. Mid-July, we will be having a book signing, and I'm looking forward to growing greatness with you. Until next time, have a great day, Java.